Hello and everyone, welcome to Election Day here at the Damage Report. Election Day, the beginning of election week, my favorite part of election month. Everybody get ready for what could become a very big thing. But to start it off, we have a very big thing for you, and that is a full day of coverage here at TYT. And I could not be more excited to start it off the only way I'd want to with my co-host in this first hour, Anna Kasparian. How's it going, Anna? It's Election Day. Maybe we'll be saved, maybe not. We'll see. You know, we were just talking before we went live about the fact that this is the first Damage Report in more than 8 months that I've had an in-studio co-host. And on election day, we've got a couple of people in the studio. Edwin's there, Bart's in the control room, a few other people are wandering around. And we were talking about how on 2016, we wouldn't have predicted, but we should have been able to predict that we'd get to 2020, but we'd be doing election coverage with a plastic face shield over Edwin's face because he's worried we're all gonna kill him with the virus we all have. What
well,
a year.
We don't all have it.
Luckily, a lot of people do.
Right, a lot of people do. Massive surge in coronavirus cases. And look, Trump's presidency ended up being even worse than I expected, and I thought it was gonna be pretty bad. But coronavirus, I think, is the number one issue that is hurting him in his reelection bid. So we'll see how today plays out. I've learned to have low expectations for this country. So I have low expectations for today. We'll see.
Exactly.
I just want to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I just want to be pleasantly anything. I just want something pleasant. Anyway, we are getting people's messages that the audio is apparently out of sync. That's actually on brand because everything kind of feels out of sync in 2020, but we're gonna try to get that fixed somehow. But anyway, there is a lot of news that we have to get to along the way. If you want to chat along with us, send us super chats, tweets, comments, anything like that, we'll be reading those. Thank you to everybody who is showing support for the show and the network and America and democracy and whatever by being here. And so thank you for that. Please like the stream and share it to let people know that we've launched this thing, because we're gonna be going until the wee hours of the night. Ann and I are gonna be holding on this first hour. The next hour, Cenk Uygur's gonna join me, as well as Cori Bush, soon to be Congresswoman. Cori Bush is gonna be here. On the third hour, we've got Francesca Fiorentini, as well as Ben Dixon, and then a whole lot more where that came from. And so why don't we get this thing launched, Anna?
Let's do it.
So I decided to just take a brief look out at the country as people are out there voting, and just wanted to see how is everything going. I mean, we had a rough election in 2016, but now we've had years to learn and to make things better. And Spalding County voting machines are all down in Georgia, apparently. That's fun breaking news.
Oh my goodness.
Why not? We're only the biggest, best, richest country in the history of countries. Why should people be able to vote? And so that's out there. I mean, I saw in Ohio they were having big issues with voting machines. It's likely that that has spread to other places. This is just the stuff that I sort of casually found as I was searching. We've got other stuff, Anna, but any surprise that, what do you know, whole county voting systems have already crashed?
This happens, it seems like this happens during every election. There's especially elections that are usually, there's some question about whether or not the results will be contested. We had all sorts of issues with voting during the Democratic primary, starting off with the very first state, Iowa. And it almost seems like we don't actually live in a country where voting is encouraged, right? It's almost as if we live in a country where our resources aren't placed in making it easier to vote, ensuring that every vote counts, ensuring that every vote is counted. I think this year really solidified that opinion that I have toward how our country really views voting. I mean, how the people in positions of power view voting.
Yeah.
They don't want people to go out and vote. And it's frustrating, it's irritating. As I was turning in my mail-in ballot in California, and of course I turned it in early, I made sure that my partner turned it in at the post office. I'm like, no, we're not dropping it off in any box. It's gonna go straight to the post office. But even that, like even every little tiny strategy I could think of to ensure that my vote would count, I had this feeling in my gut that somehow it's gonna get tossed out. There's gonna be some sort of technicality. That is not a functioning democracy. That is not how a functioning democracy should make its citizens feel.
Exactly. Yeah, America is, as always, a failed state. Now, you made the good decision, though, of taking care of it before Election Day. If you are out there voting today, first of all, good. Whether you're voting for the Democrat or tragically voting for Trump, I like people voting. I think it's a good thing. Not everybody thinks that. And it's not just the powerful elites. They definitely don't want anybody voting. The right-wing grifters, they don't want people voting. But also regular people who support this fascist movement don't want people voting. And so we knew that they were gonna have tons of poll watchers, which I looked at the technical definition of that, and it is crazy person with a Trump flag yelling at people. And we've got evidence of that already. Take a look at this. It was a poll worker in Brooklyn took a video of this individual randomly yelling at people that they're Antifa.
No, I'm not. I'm 100 feet away. I'm 100. Forget a tape measure. I'm 100 feet away.
You're not the ones cursing, bro.
So that is how an individual like that is feeling and approaching the world after 4 years of his favorite person in the universe being president. He's that person. After them having total control, they're getting Supreme Court justices, they're passing the legislation they want. You know, it doesn't actually benefit a guy like that, but it's by design. All he wants is lib tears. He doesn't expect the government to deliver anything else. He is left in a position where he's standing on a street corner yelling at people and swearing at them. It's a great movement. Seems like nice people. Don't call them deplorable. Don't do that.
It's almost as if they lost and thought that they had lost for 4 years straight. I mean, I never really understood the anger coming from Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Why are you so angry? They're always in a bad mood. They're always yelling at people. They're always causing problems. And if you guys can remember, back in 2016, there was like this whole idea that kept being regurgitated in the media about how, ooh, Trump supporters, they have to be quiet. Trump supporters don't tell people that they're Trump supporters. Trump supporters are afraid to tell people that they're Trump supporters. You know, they were represented as this coy, sheepish part of the electorate that was afraid to admit that they were planning to vote for Trump or had voted for Trump. They've never been quiet. They weren't quiet during the 2016 election while the campaigns were still happening. They weren't quiet after the election. They've always been angry. And look, I know this is a blanket statement. I'm sure there are some quiet Trump supporters out there, but you don't see Biden supporters or Hillary supporters from 2016 for that matter, you know, getting up in people's faces and yelling at them and talking about how they want to own them. I just never really understood the anger, especially after Trump won. Like, shouldn't you be jubilant? Shouldn't you be happy?
Yeah, they're angrier in victory than we are with no power whatsoever. It's a weird thing. It's almost as if their problems aren't actually being solved by their elected representatives and they're just sort of ignoring the actual problems.
Yeah.
It's almost like that. But anyway, there's other cases of this. A poll watcher that was trying to force his way into a Philadelphia polling station had to be ejected. You know, I hope that you're lucky enough if you're voting today to not have to deal with any of this. I hate the idea that people are gonna have to deal with, you know, crazy people doing Rambo cosplay and toting weapons that belong in, you know, the fields of war are gonna be looming over people's backs as they try to vote. But you know, I can only ask, please try to stay in line, try to vote. If you leave the line, technically they've won. That's what they're there for. It's a sucky situation to be put in. We need to do something about it, but right now we need to vote. And sorry, Anna, you were gonna
say something? No, you make a great point. And you know, I remember when TYT was traveling throughout the country for the Democratic debates. And one of the states that I got to go to was Florida. I got to watch the Democratic debate in Miami. And prior to that, there was a rally that we were part of and we had to take de-escalation training because we knew, you know, we were out in the open, people were probably gonna come and start harassing us. And that's exactly what happened. Laura Loomer was one of the people who showed up and she started like yelling at us as we were trying to do this rally. And at first I thought the whole de-escalation training was a waste of time. I'm like, what is this? But no, it works. So if you're in line and you have Trump supporters trying to provoke you, I can't tell you how effective it is to pretend like they don't exist and that they're not there. They get increasingly angry, but they look increasingly clownish. Mm-hmm. And if you're not responding to them in any way, I mean, there's nothing they can do. Like, what are they gonna do? They're gonna beat you up while you're waiting in line. They can't do that. They'll suffer the consequences of that. But don't engage with them at all. And John, to your point, a lot of people did vote early. As of yesterday, about 70% of likely voters had already voted.
Yeah.
So that's a really good sign.
Yeah, exactly. You know, to your point about Laura Loomer, I remember we were in Detroit, I think, and we were doing, get together. We were like, I think Varshini Prakash, the Sunrise Woman, had just spoken. And the woman who works for, I think it's Alex Jones, the one who, the gun girl who pooped her pants. I forget her. Anyway, there's probably a few of those in right-wing media. But anyway, you know the one I'm talking about. She like was trying to interrupt us and nobody was paying her attention. And eventually she just sort of sunk in on herself and then wandered away with her cameraman. It was the saddest thing.
Exactly. The only thing I said to Laura Loomer, and this is after she was like screaming by herself for I don't even know how long, I just like looked at her because she was right by me. I like did this and I was like, so embarrassing. And then she like went even crazier. It was just so funny. But don't even do that. Like just ignore them. They want to intimidate you. Don't allow them to do it and don't engage with them. Make sure you stay in line and cast your ballot.
Yeah, and don't allow yourself to be deceived. Journalist Dana Nessel said on Twitter earlier today, getting reports of multiple robocalls going to Flint residents that due to long lines, they should vote tomorrow. Obviously, this is false in an effort to suppress the vote. No long lines, and today is the last day to vote. Don't believe the lies exactly. They are gonna try to deceive you. Just go and vote. Hopefully, if you're watching this, you've already done that. You know, days ago, perhaps a couple of weeks ago. But if not, get out there and do it. And some of you might be thinking, well, you know, I just woke up from a coma and I'd like to vote too, but I guess it's too late. No, in like at least 22 states, plus I think the District of Columbia, there is same day registration and voting. So even if you've waited until this late moment, you can still get out there and do it, and you definitely should. But you're gonna wanna be on your guard because there are those poll watchers, they're crazy people. Experts are monitoring extremist groups to see, you know, where they're gonna be dispatching members of, you know, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and all of that. We're gonna be, you know, watching out for news about any sort of chaos or violence, but just get out there, vote, get it done. And then go home and watch TYT coverage for the rest of the day. That would be my advice to you.
Yeah, I like that.
I do too. Anyway, in some of the places where these extremists are gonna be going to try to intimidate people, they might find that they don't wanna do that because of the legal ramifications. We've got the DA Larry Krasner of Philadelphia, who had this to say about those who might try to show up and mess with people's voting rights.
Mr. Krasner, great to have you. What does that mean? I've got something for you.
That means I got a jail cell and I got criminal charges, and you can stand in front of a Philadelphia jury, which, by the way, is a diverse jury, and you can explain why you thought it was okay to come to Philly and steal our votes. This is the birthplace of democracy. We are not doing this. Wanna be fascist? Stay home. And if your idea of how to have a democratic election is to steal it, then I got something for you.
So look, he's going on in the media to let people know that this is going on, but it's not just a PR thing. They've got this group of more than 90 city prosecutors and detectives that are going to be watching to take care of these situations when they pop up. Because the idea that someone could try to shut down one of these locations or try to scare people out of a line is obviously unacceptable. We know that Philadelphia is probably gonna be ground zero for that effort. For fairly obvious reasons. And so I'm glad that the Krasner there is taking it seriously.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I like hearing tough talk from people who want to defend people's rights, especially the right to vote in this incredibly important election. But you know, what I also think is interesting is how Trump really thought that all the different ways in which he's been trying to disenfranchise voters would give him the edge in this election. But some reporting indicates that he discouraged a lot of people who want to vote for him from casting their ballots early, like through mail-in voting.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those people are either gonna try to show up today and they might be met with individuals trying to intimidate them in the line. Because how do you know who they're voting for, right? Or, you know, there might be some issues with them, you know, not voting in time. I'm just very curious to see how it all plays out. But as always, I mean, I feel like people get mad at me when I say this, but it's just how I feel. This is not really based in like data. I'm nervous, like I'm nervous about today.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about today, and more importantly, I'm nervous about what follows the polls closing, right? Other than the election results, like how are people gonna react to it? There's a lot of fear about violence. And you know, I was teaching yesterday after the main show, and I just told my students, like, I just gave them tips on how to stay safe. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I'm not trying to scare you or anything. You know, if you haven't voted, you should vote, but stay safe because there is a lot of fear. Like Beverly Hills, for instance, is like completely boarded up because they're worried about violence mm-hmm. following the election.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I want people to stay safe. I also want them to stay sane. And so we are going to be doing whatever legal challenges or whatever come up, we're going to be here. You're not gonna have to face that sort of crazy news that can be hard to decipher with only Wolf Blitzer to save you. We will be here for you. Nothing against Wolf, but why him? I don't know why I threw him under the bus.
No,
except
he's
for
kind
all
of
the reasons
guy.
That I threw him under the bus. But anyway, so we're gonna be dealing with that. And just bear in mind, all day, no matter what happens, we don't know what the result is until we know what the result is. And Trump coming out and declaring victory is not proof that he won. You know, but one of the candidates or the other being up big in some states doesn't necessarily mean what it might seem to mean. So just bear that in mind, be calm, don't respond in a knee-jerk fashion. But also, just to give you a little bit more about the effort to make sure that people in Philadelphia are gonna be able to cast their vote. Krasner denounced voter suppression efforts being encouraged by the president. He said that brandishing a firearm in an attempt to menace voters or election workers is dangerous and anti-American behavior, and it will be prosecuted by my office. Last week, he told Trump to keep your Proud Boys, goon squads, and uncertified poll watchers out of our city. And I'm glad that there's going to be, you know, some sort of protection. There are still going to be people, apparently based on journalists from, you know, sort of giving their impressions of this poll watching effort from around the country. They had said, you might remember, we're gonna have an army of 50,000 people. It isn't yet looking like that. There was I think on Public Integrity, they had an article sort of speculating about why it might not be turning out the way Trump had expected. And one reason is that it turns out that watching the polls is really, really boring.
Yep.
Just going there and yelling at people and having way, way more people yell back at you isn't necessarily that much fun. And so it might not be as bad as it seemed like it was going to be, but that doesn't mean there aren't gonna be Boogaloo Boys and Proud Boys and all of that at some places.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree.
Yeah. Now we're about to take our first break in just a few. You know, actually, why don't we do that? We're gonna come back, we're gonna touch base with the audience, see you know, some of the messages they've been sending us, what they're thinking. We've expressed a little bit of our anxiety. Let's see if the audience agrees after this. Welcome back, everyone.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Regardless of whether you're watching as a member on our app, maybe you're on Twitch, maybe you're on YouTube, maybe you're on other things that I don't even know about that like the younger generation uses. And I want to know what it is, but they don't tell me. I guess I guess I'll stay an outsider.
Aw, Uncle John.
But anyway, regardless of which of those you're on, presumably you're on the internet, but are you protected? Are you secure on the internet? Well, one way that you can do that is by going with a Pure VPN. You can stay safe and secure on the web with a 7-day free trial. Head to tyt.com/purevpn to both increase your freedom in terms of what you can browse and where you can browse, but also security as well. And before we launch back into the news, I did want to see what's going on with the audience since this is kind of a big day and all. So first super chat, why wouldn't it be Rob Shively? Rob Shively says, Dragon Squad Sacramento reporting in, we're hunkered down and ready for the madness and I'm already exhausted. This dude needs to go now, vote. Exactly, Rob, couldn't agree more. Thank you for that. Jennifer McIntosh says, Anna, you look fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
Pay by number says, Anna's dress is fire.
Thank you, thank you.
Jasmine says, I love your shirt, Anna. You look extra beautiful today.
Thank you. Nice. Yeah, I figured, you know, I haven't really been dressing up much as many people have experienced because of the virus. So I'm like, well, today's a special day. Let me go ahead. If anything, if it's gonna be a tumultuous day, might as well look good while going through it.
And if it's a bad day, you're dressed for a funeral potentially as well, all in black. Yeah, I'm dressed fancy too. I had to remember how these buttons work though. It's been a while.
Well, Dragon Daddy's gotta wear a dragon t-shirt.
I mean, exactly, exactly. I'm not gonna stop this. But anyway, Chub Toad to that effect says, Dragon Daddy and Salty Mama. Anna looking fabulous today. John looks acceptable. Thanks, Chub Toad. Thanks, Chub Toad.
I like
being negged on election day. Christina, thank you for the you're amazing. Somebody, one person said Anna's dressed to the nines. I saw that in the YouTube comments. Someone said, is Anna going to a ball?
No.
maybe a victory ball. We'll have to see. Renderoth says, at work in Louisiana, voted early for Biden, even though Trump will definitely win here. Thank you for doing what you do and keep it up. Love you guys. Thank you for that. Jason Tastrophe says, looking forward to watching TYT all election day with honorary Dragon Squad member Elizabeth. Love you guys. Thank you, Jason and Elizabeth. We have a lot of messages that we're gonna gradually get to. Thank you everybody who's been sending these in. But I also wanted to say, well, first of all, Steve with a big super chat saying, thank you Dragon Daddy and Salty Dragon for keeping us sane today.
I like that. I like Salty Dragon.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, I'll take that.
This is gonna be a deep cut, but maybe somebody who's played a little bit too much D&D can remind me of which dragon it is that actually breathes salt, but there is one. There is one.
There is.
And I wanted to get a reference to dragons in on election day. Anyway, thank you, Steve. Go watch. Really appreciate that. Over on Twitch, by the way, I saw there's a lot of great ambassadors over there. People giving subs and all of that. I saw Hottie Meter recently gave 50 tier one subs. Thank you to the Twitch community. Love you guys. And hope that we and the country deliver for you today. And with that, today is not necessarily going to be fun from floor to ceiling, but we do have a little bit of fun, and that involves Donald Trump's final appearance on Fox and Friends. So why don't we transition to that?
Yes.
Donald Trump, day of, decided he's going to go on Fox and Friends. The thing is, it's really not big, bold, brash, happy, excited Trump. It's kind of like diminished, scared, beaten down Trump. As you'll see as we launch into this first video.
So, Mr. President, the analysis of what they're talking about and some of the things you've said, they are suggesting that you may declare victory if the early numbers favor you. At what point will you declare victory?
When there's victory, if there's victory, I think we'll have victory. I think the polls are, you know, suppression polls, and I think we'll have victory, but only when there's victory. I mean, you know, there's no reason to play games, and I think we'll have victory. I think we're, you know, I look at it as being a very, a very solid chance at winning. I don't know what the chances are. I don't know how they rate the chances, but I think we have a very solid chance of winning.
I don't know. I'm getting drunk vibes, but I'm also getting. Are his lungs filled with marinara sauce? What is going on with him? I get it that he's done a lot of rallies and his voice is probably shot for that reason. But that was not happy Trump. That was sad Trump.
I mean, look, the come down from that Adderall high can be rough. It can be rough.
Can.
And so, you know, you got to crush some and snort some, Trump. Got to get it together before
riding
your Fox
the old
and
A
Friends
train.
Interview.
That's tough.
Speculation, some might call that speculation, yeah, as Bush would say. No, I mean, he does sound defeated there. And I'm curious, John, do you have any other video from that
appearance?
Oh, we do. Okay, great. Because there were other fantastic moments from his appearance.
Yeah, I don't know if we're gonna have the one you want, but really fast. Because obviously we're gonna focus on Trump because it's election day and everything. But what was that question from Ducey? When will you declare victory? Like he said, premature, like before the results are fully in. He just says, so when are you gonna do that thing that you're not supposed to do? Like when are you gonna roll out that strategy of trying to, you know, delegitimize and inevitably steal the election? Like do a little bit, like aren't you supposed to be a journalist? Like hypothetically, you do cosplay
of
journalism.
Come on, John, come on.
Anyway.
And you know how Trump is. Like people have to walk on eggshells around Trump because of how thin his skin is. And he's got this insane ego. So if, first of all, Fox and Friends does not consist of journalists. Those people are not journalists, okay? And secondly, even if they were, you can't frame a question accurately to Trump.
Yeah.
Because if you do, he throws a temper tantrum live on television. Mm-hmm. In fact, he threw a little bit of a temper tantrum during this interview.
Yeah, and we're gonna get to that. So let's move to the next. So Steve Ducey there throwing sort of softballs to him. I believe this next one is from Ainsley Earhart. And she's gonna throw what is like basically a rendition of a softball, but made out of like down. So take a look at this. This is the president on the day of the election. This is how she's using her time with him.
You know, when they say that they love you, and when they say they love you, I like how you say, well, I love you too. Because when you love someone, that's always nice to hear back. But what has it been like? Have you loved the job or has it been worth it? Because you've been under so much attack.
Well, it's been mean. It's been, you've dealt with horrible people like Shifty Schiff and Crazy Nancy and Crying Chuck Schumer. You deal with some horrible people.
Yeah, we're dealing with some horrible people. What's with the crying Chuck Schumer? He's bad, but like the crying, I don't really get it. Anyway, so Anna, that Ainsley Earhart question, what the hell was that?
I don't know. It seems like she's going through something personal and she was projecting it onto the election.
About to cry? It sounded like she was about to cry.
Look, I don't know, but it was a strange statement, right? It was almost like one of those things. And I feel like if you do on-air stuff every once in a while, like what you're going through personally might bleed into the programming you're doing, right? So there might be some like passive aggressive messaging there towards someone. I don't know, we're just speculating. I don't know. I can't imagine that Fox, including the fine people over at Fox and Friends, actually want Trump to win. I don't think they want Trump to win. I genuinely don't. Because Trump attacks them. He's not a reasonable person. I think Trump is actually surrounded by people who can't stand him in the Republican Party. Because he has zero loyalty to anyone. He will throw you under the bus in a heartbeat. If you don't do some crazy criminal thing that he wants you to do so he can have some sort of political advantage, he will very openly criticize you, threaten to fire you. Remember, he wanted William Barr to announce some sort of like sham investigation into Joe Biden. And Barr is like, no, I'm not gonna do that. And Trump immediately started attacking him. William Barr has done almost everything with that one exception that Trump has wanted him to do. Like he has been Trump's lapdog throughout this entire, not entire, but ever since he was named as the attorney general.
Yeah, it is pretty shocking that he didn't actually do that. And let me add one other thing they didn't do. I love pointing out when my predictions were wrong. I got one wrong, everybody. They didn't announce the rollout of a vaccine. I really thought that they were going to come up with some fake vaccine that wasn't actually ready to go, that's still months down the line, but they're gonna pretend that it's coming now. And they didn't actually do that. Is his heart even in stealing this thing? He's barely trying to steal it at this point.
No, I mean, anyway. Look, I think the vaccine trick would have been a super heavy lift because, and it would backfire, I think, tremendously, to use a Trump word. Imagine saying that, oh, we have a new vaccine, it's gonna be available in a few days, whatever. And then it's either not available or like, I don't know if it was a fake vaccine, like what would it be? Like just a regular flu shot?
No, I just assume that like hypothetically he'd say, he'd take one of the vaccines that's being worked on that will eventually be available and he'll just say, no, it's ready to go, we're shipping it out. And they won't, the follow-up questions will come and they'll have nothing, but it'll make headlines, and they didn't actually do that. So
yeah,
that's good. Whatever the reason is, I guess it's good. I guess it's good. But anyway, let's go to you talked about the fight. Donald Trump, during his appearance on Fox and Friends this morning, he really does have an issue with Fox. I guess they haven't been deferential enough, because they tee him up with a question that's supposed to get him to attack Barack Obama, but it didn't actually end up that way.
One of the things he said last night was he's going around spreading COVID like he's a carrier, because he cares more about having these big crowds than he does keeping people safe. Do you want to respond to the former president?
Well, fortunately, he's drawing flies. He's not getting anybody to go listen to him too much. Actually, Fox puts him on more than anybody else, which is sort of shocking to me, because Fox has changed a lot. And somebody said, what's the biggest difference between this and 4 years ago? And I say Fox. It's much different. You still have great people.
But
you're three of them.
But you know, Mr. President, can I just say one thing? What they try to do, what they try to do with Fox,
in terms of
politics. But we just want to show both. Unlike the other networks, they were trying to show both sides. So hey, here's President Trump live, here's Joe Biden live. Because we feel it's a responsibility to sell.
We report, they decide.
Yeah, so I don't think it's an endorsement of anybody. But go ahead, when President Obama speaks, does he get under your skin? They say that he's the reason.
You know, they wouldn't put Sleepy Joe Biden on every time he opened his mouth. You know, they had other networks for that, frankly. And it was run, you know, it's a much different operation. I'm just telling you, it's much different. And you know, and you have great people when you have Sean and you have Laura and you know yourselves, and you have some incredible
Ainsley.
People.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Tucker's been great. You have, I think you've had, you really have incredible people, but it's much different. I can name some of your side players, and you'll interview. You had a period of time. I think you're still doing it, but you had Democrats on more than you had Republicans. And look, it's different. You know, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling people it's one of
not complain. No, you're complaining. I've seen you complain. It happens all the time. You whiny little baby. You're mean to me. And you know, I mean, the only part of your network run like lineup that actually is nice to me is you guys for the first 5 hours of the day. And then there's Tucker and Laura and Sean, you know, like a solid block of 5 hours at night. The rest of it's kind of mean, because they put Sleepy Joe on all the time. Every time he opens his mouth, even though most of the time I say that he never does appearances and never gives speeches. But now apparently it's happening too much. Come on, be nice to me. Be nice to me.
Yeah.
Sad display. That's election day. That is him rolling into, like, it's supposed to be his triumphant reelection, and he's whining to Fox and Friends that they're too mean to him.
So I've made this point many times, and I'm gonna make it again because it's very relevant to this story. It's embarrassing to be a Trump supporter. And not because, you know, the typical stuff that you hear Democrats say, oh, they're stupid, they're this. No. It's embarrassing to be a Trump supporter, especially because of the fact that all he spends his time doing as the most powerful person on the planet is cry. He cries nonstop. Twitter, interviews, campaign events, doesn't matter. He's always crying, always complaining, always talking about how he's at a disadvantage, how life is so unfair. We're talking about a man who inherited $413 million from his daddy.
Yep.
And was basically given every opportunity on a silver platter. And he thinks that life is unfair, okay? While ordinary Americans, average Americans are trying to get by during a pandemic that he has mishandled. People are losing their small businesses. I mean, it's been a complete and utter disaster, but Trump thinks he's the one who's been wronged. He's the one who should be treated better because life is so unfair. And then it's also particularly embarrassing when his supporters recognize how unpopular he is and go out of their way to intimidate voters, to scare people from you know, turning in their mail-in ballots. They've done all sorts of crazy things in places like California with these fake drop-off boxes. I mean, it's so sad when you know your candidate sucks and the majority of Americans don't want him, and so you have to try to steal the election.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, and whining to them, like, and their defenses of each other with Kill Me, like, and Ainsley Earhart. Like, yeah, no, dude, he said all three of you. Like, that's very nice of you. It's sort of weird. Is that what, was there a conversation between those two? Is that what caused the other reaction? I don't know. And then Ducey's like, we report, you decide. Like, he throws out a catchphrase, like that's a solution to their problem. He's staying on brand, I'll give him that. But let's play the last video that we have. You know, Donald Trump spent the whole morning just whining and seemingly projecting that he doesn't think he has a chance of winning. But Kayleigh McEnany, she is being paid to stay on script, and stay on script she will. Here is her prediction leading into Election Day.
I thought of Hillary Clinton. I thought of Hillary Clinton, who appallingly said that under no circumstance should Joe Biden concede. Under every circumstance, our campaign believes that tonight will be a landslide. You have the Trafalgar poll, the only poll to show President Trump leading in Michigan in 2016, saying that he will win by 3 points. They have him up 2 points in Pennsylvania. We believe this will be a landslide, and for the Biden campaign to come out and double down on Hillary Clinton's egregious statement that no circumstance should you concede just tells you all you need to know. They're in a pinch. It's why they're out on the campaign trail even today as voters go to the poll. Telling you now, the story of this election is this: the Latino vote came to President Trump, the black vote came to President Trump in numbers that we have not seen, because he has been a president for the people, fighting for the black community, the Latino community, every American, bringing us a historic economy, while Joe Biden brought us the slowest economic recovery since World War II.
Okay, so look, maybe she'll be right. I kind of doubt it'll be a landslide, but maybe he'll win. Maybe that's a possibility. But let's just be very clear. Not that it matters, not that fact checking literally accomplishes anything anymore, but that's not what Hillary Clinton was saying. What she was saying to Joe Biden was to not preemptively concede in the way that Al Gore did. There is a precedent for that. Conceding when all the votes have not been counted. That's what she's saying. She's not saying never concede under any circumstances. That's such willful ignorance from Kayleigh McEnany there, to try to create this false equivalency with Donald Trump spending the last 6 months talking about nothing but the fact that he wants to steal this election.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I just want to note that I love that she cited that. She's like, every poll shows that Biden's leading except for Telebalugagar or whatever. Like that, I can't even say the name.
Trafalgar, but yeah.
Trafalgar, whatever. Yeah. That, it's not a credible poll.
No.
It's not a credible pollster, which is why it's literally the only poll that showed that Trump is leading.
Exactly. Yeah, and again, he could end up winning there. That's possible, but I don't think that Trafalgar is necessarily, like, that's not evidence of much. The polls could be off. They could be. They would have to be off by more than they were in 2016 for Donald Trump to win again, but that's not outside of the realm of possibility. But again, that's not the same thing as being landslide. We're just gonna have to see. We're just gonna have to see. But she is, at the very least, she's earning her paycheck and she's keeping on brand. Mm-hmm. Now, with that said, we do have to take our second break. We come back, more news for you, including if Donald Trump does lose, what kind of world, what could be waiting for him on the outside? We'll give you a look at that after this. Welcome back, everyone, to TYT election coverage with Anna Kasparian and myself. Before we jump back into our news, which is gonna be a little bit of fun, a little bit of Schadenfreude. Speaking of Schadenfreude, let's read a message, I think, from someone who might indeed be German. We'll see. But a big super chat from Das Gimp, who says, holy moly, Das Boot, you look stunning. Get it, girl. TYT election night has been a tradition of mine since 2006.
I know, it's true. I know who you are. We've exchanged emails. I like you. You're a good guy.
Wow.
Yeah, the Das Boot. I remember that.
I maybe I shouldn't get in the middle of this.
I know your first and last name, but I'm not going to say it on the show.
That's awesome. My daughter Haven is on the donor wall. This is family, and I love it. Regardless of what happens, we'll get through this because that is what family does. Agreed, Duskin. Thank you for the support. By the way, I was talking with Edwin before this, and do you remember the election night we did at the Lip Studio?
Yeah,
that
I do.
Happened, right?
Okay, that was in 2012. Crazy. That was in 2012. Wow.
I think it might have been 2014, I'm not sure. But anyway, that was a big night. Yeah. Remember elections that ended well? Hopefully we'll have another one of those. Flatnickable says, hello, Dragon Daddy and Salty Dragon. Thanks for enlightening us throughout this miserable excuse of a year. Please vote this clown out. Also, as a Norwegian, I will miss Emma a little extra. Best of luck to her, stay sane. Yeah.
Wait, is Emma like super hot with the Norwegians? Is that what's going on?
She's Norwegian.
Oh, I didn't know that about Emma.
Norwegian descent. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I went to the Vigeland, I think it's like a statue garden or something like that in Oslo, actually. Depleted Uranium Cowboy says they're eating themselves, talking about Republicans. Well, we'll see. Everybody's got to eat something. I prefer the rich, but I get it. Chris Nesbitt says, thanks to TYT for giving us all a place to hang today. Chris, thank you. And we will, all day, in fact. Jan Weisbart says, if Trump tries to stop the vote count, the counting must be completed. Never do anything you know is wrong or inhumane.
Can I actually direct you guys to something that I think is very helpful and useful if Donald Trump attempts to stage a coup? And I think that it's important to use that kind of terminology if he tries to steal the election. So I had Joshua Kahn Russell, who is a longtime activist and organizer, on The Conversation. And he was talking about how he's been organizing people in the event that Donald Trump stages a coup. And so if you go to choosedemocracy.us, that's where you can learn the details of what this organizing is really about. It is a nonviolent, peaceful way to demand democracy in the event that Donald Trump stages a coup. Yeah. And what they're doing is, first of all, there's a whole pledge system, so you pledge to vote. But at the very end, if a coup happens, there's a strategy in place, rolling strikes, basically challenging capital in the country. And once you challenge capital, that's what people power is really about, right? Like, we have power in numbers, and if you challenge capital, I think that's when you can actually get some real change. Don't wait for the Secret Service to do the right thing. Don't wait for the military to do the right thing. Don't wait for the Democrats to do the right thing. It's really up to us to ensure that we maintain democracy in this country.
Yeah. 100%. Just a few more quick super chats. Just a kid from Jersey says, hey guys, I voted early and yes, I am drinking today. It's gonna be a popular choice. Jeff
Damn
Erland
it.
Said, what's that?
I forgot to bring whiskey. I was gonna bring whiskey.
Happy Half Hour films in that other room. There's something in there.
I need
Anyway, one last from Tejaswi Raghurama says, you both are the best TYT has to offer. Looking forward to a passionate coverage, Anna, John. I sincerely hope there is less of shouting and shrieking by Cenk. It's gonna be an emotional day. We're all gonna be shouting and shrieking at some point, okay?
I love you guys so much.
Me too, me too. Okay, with that, let's jump into this news. So, if Donald Trump does not prevail, whether tonight or eventually as a result of his efforts to get the Supreme Court to step in, and he does eventually have to leave the White House, what world could be waiting for him? Well, it's looking more and more like he at least thinks it's going to be one of spending a lot of time dealing with court cases. Because apparently, according to the New York Times, in unguarded moments, Mr. Trump has for weeks told advisors that he expects to face intensifying scrutiny from prosecutors if he loses. He is concerned not only about existing investigations in New York, but the potential for new federal probes as well, according to people who have spoken with him. And there's a number of different, sort of angles that could come from. Theoretically, inside of the federal government, some lingering thing from the investigations that happened during his first term. I personally don't think that that's very likely, but it is possible. But then you also have investigations, happening mainly in the Southern District of New York. Financial crimes, there's all of that reporting from the New York Times about his taxes, hypothetically could be investigated further. While he stays as president, it's unlikely that any of those would proceed very far. But if he were to lose that sort of shady, at least feigned legal protection, he could be facing some significant problems going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, remember, as a sitting president, he doesn't have to worry about prosecution. That's why he was so intent on getting reelected. It kind of kicks the can further down the road when it comes to prosecutorial issues, when it comes to the IRS audit that he's facing. Remember, he received a tax refund to the tune of I don't remember the exact figure, but it's about $79,000 refund he received. That's insane. And so, of course, he's being in, no, it was millions.
It was millions, 93
like,
million, I think it was.
You guys don't get it. Like $79 million doesn't even register in my brain, right? I'm like, how can anyone get a $79 million tax refund?
Hard work.
Yeah, please. A guy who went bankrupt 6 different times. So understandably, the IRS had been auditing him, but that audit has been paused as he's been serving as president. So as he's been basically raping the country as president. Mm-hmm. So he's worried about having to pay back all of this money to his creditors. He's worried about the IRS audit. He's worried about prosecutorial issues. His life is a mess because he is a terrible person. He engages in criminality. Right before he was inaugurated, he had to pay $22 million to settle the whole Trump University debacle where he had defrauded students. While he was president, he had to shutter his charitable organization because he was literally using that to enrich himself and to pay off settlements for money that the charitable organization was raising. Just absolutely terrible, terrible guy. And yeah. I'm here for it. I'm hoping that he does get prosecuted to the fullest extent. I hope he gets prosecuted the way an average American would get prosecuted.
Yeah. Yeah. My fear, though, is that best case scenario, he'll get prosecuted the way an average, at least implied billionaire will get prosecuted. So this is where I'm just curious about your opinion in terms of the likelihood of this happening, because I've approached these sorts of stories for several months now thinking, sure, in terms of justice, it seems like sure it would be just if he were to face some sort of consequences for pick a crime, but and you know it would be he's gone his whole life without you know seemingly any consequences for anything he's done, so it would seem sort of karmically right, but I don't think that it's likely to happen. Like in just my gut, I feel like he'll use the money that he has, the teams of lawyers that he has, to drag it out. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it happening, honestly. Well, And really fast, the reason that I keep saying that, even though I know that I'm like being a buzzkill, is I don't want people to put even like pledge even a little bit of their sort of mental state to the idea that we will get justice. That if Tuesday, that if today goes right, then we'll not only get the presidency, we'll not only put the country back on the right path, but that there will actually finally be a reckoning for Trump. I'm not sure that that's ever coming.
Right. I mean, I think that you're not being a buzzkill. I think you're being reasonable considering what we've experienced in this country over and over again when it comes to wealthy people engaging in criminality. So I have learned to never expect justice at this point when it comes to these types of high profile people. But at the same time, what gives me a little bit of solace, I guess, is knowing how miserable Trump is as a person, right? The reason why he's constantly on television and on social media complaining and whining about how unfair life is because he's a sad person. He's unhappy. And knowing how unhappy he is, yeah, is just a little bit of justice that I keep close to my heart.
Yeah.
You know, every moment that I have with my coworkers that's joyous, every time I'm with my husband and my dog or my family and I'm feeling happy, and when I feel at peace,
yeah,
I think about how I wouldn't trade that for anything. And then I think about the people who, you know, have done terrible things and they bother us. But usually the people like Trump who do terrible things are just unhappy internally. And that,
I think
that
so.
Makes me happy.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We have each other. It's the classic Potter versus Voldemort thing. We have friends, basically. But anyway, we have one more quick story we're gonna get to really fast. Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Twitch chat, thank you so much for gifting those subs. Really do appreciate that and being such a good ambassador to the channel. Really fast, let's launch into this last story with the few minutes that we have remaining. Trump's financial outlook is looking a little bit rougher than it was perhaps 24 hours ago, because we've just found out, according to some great reporting by Reuters, that his massive accounts are about to come due with Deutsche Bank if he loses. The German lender is apparently seeking to cut ties with Trump after the election, according to three senior officials talking with Reuters just yesterday. Deutsche Bank could seek to sell or demand repayment of about $340 million in outstanding loans to the Trump organization. These are apparently against Trump properties and they start coming due in the next 2 years. They're personally guaranteed by the president, which means that in theory, his properties could be seized to pay for it. Again, that's in theory, he's rich, we'll see. But apparently the thinking goes this way in terms of how Deutsche Bank is going to manage the future. One idea that has come up in meetings, sell the loans in the secondary market, according to two bank officials. But one of the officials said the idea has not gained traction, in part because it's not clear who would want to buy the loans and the attendant problems that come with it, which makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they apparently believe that if he's not in office, it'll be easier to force him to pay, which again, that seems to, that makes sense.
So the New York Times had a fascinating piece about how Donald Trump had secured his first loan from Deutsche Bank in order to pay for the Trump Tower in Chicago. And then it became abundantly clear that he wasn't gonna pay that loan back. The economy took a hit. He was, that building had condos in it that he was trying to sell for $4 million a pop. And you know, the 2008 recession happened and he was, and construction was incredibly slow, was not going as scheduled. I mean, it was one disaster after another because he bungles everything. That's what Trump does. And so what ended up happening is Deutsche Bank realized that he's not, like, he's defaulting on this loan. And what Trump likes to do is threaten people with lawsuits. So he claimed that he was the victim of a predatory lender, Deutsche Bank, and started dragging this case out in court. In the process of all this happening, Trump secured another loan from Deutsche Bank, $90 million. So
that's how predatory they are.
I mean, exactly. They're not predatory. We know that. But what usually happens with these types of lawsuits is, number one, it's extremely expensive when the person suing you is intentionally dragging the case out. And Trump is a high profile person, and Deutsche Bank didn't want the negative PR that comes along with it. Because if he's claiming that they're being predatory, and then Deutsche Bank responds publicly and says that's not true, he can then tack on defamation charges or defamation on that lawsuit. So I'm giving you all of this because Deutsche Bank totally wussed out in the past. And you know, there's a lot of big talk now, like, oh, we're gonna make them pay back. Yeah, well, I'll see it when it happens. But my guess is it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, I just wanna see if that's actually what officials from Deutsche Bank talk like. It ain't gonna happen. But anyway, okay, we do have to take another break. Anna, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For holding down the first hour of coverage. Anna is, of course, gonna be back multiple times throughout the mess that is Election Day. We're gonna take a short break. We come back. Cenk Uygur is gonna be here in studio, as well as Cori Bush. You're not gonna wanna miss it. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adarola. I'll see you soon.